All right, let's chat with Robin Washington from Husker Online, who is giddy, or shall we say he's Gettle giddy. Nice draft by Big Blue. Dave Gettleman did something that probably shocked you and every other Giant fans by trading back in the first round.
You know, it was as a result of a hated division rival jumping in front of us with another hated division rival and taking the guy that we wanted. But at least, you know, they reacted accordingly and got some pretty darn good value with a good player in Kadarius Toney. And also that Bears first rounder, I think, is going to pay off in a big way a year from now.
Yeah, look at the first round picks. What next year? I mean, I like the Giants draft. I like the first three picks. You're all in. I mean, have you already bought your playoff tickets?
Well, you know, I'm an eternal pessimist, so no, I have not. But for the first time in a while, there's not something that like made me want to jump out of a window based off a Giants offseason move. So they've done a good job so far.
Hey, anything this spring in Lincoln sway your opinion on what you think about this team?
You know, maybe I think the one question that we had going in was, you know, the quarterback, backup quarterback situation. And, you know, I think that those two backups, while, you know, I still think they have a lot more left to prove, they did enough probably to, unless, you know, some unicorn transfer pops up in the portal, do enough to kind of put an end to the transfer quarterback discussion. You know, I know Frost said that, you know, they're not currently looking for one. And given kind of the unique situation that a transfer would have to be getting into to come here, you know, I just don't think that there's a guy out there that is going to give Nebraska what it wants. And then especially because, you know, I think between Harburg and Smothers, they have someone good enough to be the backup and take over in an emergency situation. So, I mean, I think that was one of the biggest questions that needed to be answered this spring. Went a pretty good way towards getting an answer. And then, you know, maybe the big remaining issue now is running back. You know, the Marquis Stepp situation certainly threw a wrench in the expectations there, and the fact that, you know, as many as four or five guys in that group all missed time with injuries this spring. So there's probably more questions there than there were going into spring ball. So, you know, I think in some aspects, we learned a little bit more about this team, but in others, you know, I think where there's just as many, you know, kind of areas that still need to be addressed going into the summer and fall camp. But I think everything else kind of was what I expected it to be. You know, the defense was good. You know, that they looked really good in the spring game and the open practice. You know, the receivers looked markedly better, especially if they can get those guys to get on the field this fall. That's probably as deep and talented of a receiving core as certainly they've had under Frost and maybe even several years before that. And then, you know, the offensive line, I think, looks deeper and more athletic and just kind of bigger and stronger. So, you know, all the things that you'd hope to see, I think we kind of got some confirmation on that. But like I said, there's still a couple areas that, you know, we're not quite there to get an answer just yet.
If you were putting out a three deep at running back, how would it look? And you can include an or.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put oars across the board on that. And really, it all depends on what happens with Marquis Stepp. Because, you know, before that injury, he was kind of penciled in by everybody to be the starter. And he didn't even participate this spring. So, you know, that's one of the, if not the biggest, you know, questions still out there going into the summer is, you know, where will he be at the start of the season? If he's fully healthy, that's, like I said, a guy that most people projected to be the number one from the moment he stepped on campus. After that, though, it's wide open. I think Gabe Irvin did a lot to make his case to potentially come in and be a factor, if not push for the starting job, right away. And then, you know, obviously, Jacquez Yant, I mean, he came out of nowhere. And with the way that he played all spring, capped off with a impressive second half during actual live tackling in the spring game, you know, I think he's making a very strong case to have a role in some capacity this season. And then after that, it's who can stay healthy. You know, I mean, they got a lot of guys that have potential, but have yet to be able to stay on the field long enough to live up to it. So right now, assuming Steph's healthy, I put him in the conversation, in that top three. I'd put Irvin in that top three, and then probably right now, Scott would be in that top three, with Yant being a very close fourth that could easily jump into that mix.
So Gabe Irvin did what he did in 5 months on campus. What do you think he looks different when we get around to August, or much different? Because, again, five months on campus, and he took advantage of every opportunity that was given to him, and he looks comfortable. I don't think you could have watched the spring game and said, oh, that's a freshman. He looked kind of like a – I know somebody said, hey, kind of remind me of Doug DeBose wearing the same number. He looked a little bit older. He looked super comfortable. I wonder what he looks like in August.
Well, I mean, he already put on like 10 or 15 pounds of muscle just – since he's been here, and that's in a handful of months, like you said. So you give him a full summer to continue to develop his body to the Big Ten level. He could look even better when he takes the field again this fall. And I think a lot of it is just understanding the offense. There's just terminology and just basic concepts that you only learn with experience, but he'll have a few more months under his belt, and come by the end of fall practice, several more practices to where he could be pretty well caught up with everybody else in that room, especially considering everybody else in that room has hardly played but a handful of snaps at Nebraska. So the playing field is about as level as it possibly could be for an incoming freshman. And for, Gabe Irvin's case, he did everything he could outside of missing a few practices with an injury. He was everything that he needed to be. And if that continues through the summer, through the fall, like I said, he's going to have every opportunity to be in that rotation, if not a starter, when all said and done.
A lingering concern about the offensive line would be what?
It's hard to say because, it was such a weird spring game, but, some people were a little concerned about the protection and the fact that it looked like the pocket was collapsing a little bit. I credit that maybe a little bit more towards, the defensive line being good. Okay, with Tanner looked really good. Guys like, Blaze Gunnarsson looked really good. And so I think that was more a product of Nebraska having a really good defensive line, more so than it is them having a bad pass-protecting offensive line. But just inexperience at this point. I mean, they still have a lot of young guys that are in the very beginning stages of their development, particularly, at left tackle, and then, whoever ends up at right guard. I mean, you're going to have just a lot of guys that are kind of going through it through the first time, or at least very early in their development as Big Ten offensive linemen. So while I think the talent and depth is certainly there, you can't simulate experience. So it's just going to be one of those deals where they're going to have to figure some stuff out on the fly, and hopefully, kind of like it was towards the end of last year, with every game they play, the better they're going to get.
Who's going to rush the quarterback, and who's going to lead the team in sacks?
Well, if the spring game was any indication, Caleb Tanner, he finally looked like the guy they've been waiting the last 3 years for him to be. We'll see if that translates beyond one good scrimmage, but I certainly think he is very much in that mix. And you saw just kind of the ability of guys like Ty Robinson. If people try to block him one-on-one, he's going to get to the quarterback. So I think they have guys in those traditional rush, end position in the 3-4 that can get to the quarterback. But I think it's going to be not like one Randy Gregory-type guy. I think you're going to have a collection of players. Feldarius Payne, he missed the spring game, but all accounts were that he had a really good offseason and a really good spring. Considering what he did last year, despite having significant shoulder injury, then getting COVID, he really had to play catch up in his just conditioning, strength, and experience in the defense. And he had that kind of production last year. Well, now he's got essentially a full off season that can really make him be an even bigger factor than he was a year ago. And then so you got Garrett Nelson, and Blaze Gunnarsson can find a way to flip the switch. He's certainly someone that can provide a little bit of an edge rush. So I think they have a lot of different players that can contribute where they might not have the dominant all-conference pass rusher. I think they have enough weapons that you can do a lot of different things and give opponents a lot of different looks with your pressures.
If you were in charge of the last couple of remaining scholarships, Robin, and I know Scott's been asked about the quarterback, and I thought he kind of snapped back a little bit at the end of his presser on Saturday on, you know, what they were going to do in terms of looking at a quarterback. I mean, that's twice in less than a couple of days that he has responded to that question. But if you have two available and you could go and find some bodies in the portal, guys that have, you know, could come in and help you, maybe not, you know, knock out a starter, but at least maybe get on the field for 10 to 15 snaps, what position groups would you look at?
Probably in the secondary somewhere. You know, while they're very good at the top level, there's a lot of inexperience back there, particularly at safety. You know, but behind those two starters, there's just, you know, a lot of guys that haven't played a lot of football. You know, corner, I think they like the people they have there, but again, it's just a lot of inexperience. So if you can go find somebody like a veteran player that, you know, can give you, you know, not only some more depth, but maybe some more leadership there that, you know, can just give you another option back there, I think that would be wise. And then after that, you know, maybe just best player available. You know, spring balls are obviously pretty much wrapped up around the country now, and so the portal is really going to finally take its full shape, and you're going to have a sense of, you know, your full options out there to choose from. And if there's a guy that you think can help you or make you better at a certain position that pops up, you know, then you have the ability to go for it. That's kind of the nice part about having an open spot or two at this point, is it gives you options. And so maybe if the biggest quote-unquote need, if you're not going to take a quarterback, would probably be someone in the secondary just to give you a little bit more veteran experience. And after that, you know, you can kind of be pretty selective. And if the right, you know, guy somehow crosses your path, then go ahead and take him.
Now let's shift to basketball. Just when you thought you could start writing your roster preview of the upcoming season, Nebraska adds another player. What are they getting with a guy that's, you know, just not coming out of high school, has a little prep school? But what are they getting in the newest addition?
Yeah, Karan McPherson is a 2021 recruit, originally from Queens, New York. Did a prep year at Link Year Prep in Branson, Missouri, and you know, he had recruiting interest, high major recruiting interest, coming out of high school, but because of COVID, you know, his season obviously got canceled and disrupted. And so kind of his recruitment got stunted a little bit, in the sense that a lot of coaches told him, well, we just need to see you play more before we can heavily pursue you or consider you a real option. Because he kind of got on the scene 2 summers ago at the Pangos All-American Camp down in Las Vegas, and played really, really well there. And that's where he kind of put himself on the radar. And so he was planning to commit last fall, but you know, COVID kind of threw a wrench in those plans. And so rather than just kind of take whatever the best option in his mind was available, he decided to do a year of prep school to where he could give himself some more opportunity to be seen, you know, a little bit more film, while also kind of evolving his game a little bit. I think out of high school, he was known mostly as a scorer. You know, he could put up a lot of buckets, but this past year, he really worked on the point guard element of his game to where he feels pretty comfortable being a facilitator just much as he does a scorer. He averaged 19 points and 4 assists per game last year. So, you know, clearly he's a true combo guard now that can play the one or the two. And so that made him a little bit more appealing at the next level. And, you know, Nebraska had known him for a long time. You know, assistant Matt Abdelmassi had known him since he was a sophomore in high school. And, you know, I think that it just kind of the stars aligned, and, you know, Nebraska told him, we've got a spot. It's a crowded roster, but if you want to come here and give it a shot, you want to come on board. And he jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, I think that's a nice, you know, just option to have. Yeah. We'll see where he fits in a lineup that is returning 70% of its scoring and already added a top 20 class before Karan's arrival. But, you know, I still think that's, you know, gives you another option to work with, and another potential ball handler, and certainly someone that's capable of scoring in volume. So, you know, it's more depth, and they had the luxury with 2 open spots to take a chance on the guy. And it certainly helps that he's familiar with some guys on the team. He's like childhood friends with CJ Wilcher. He knows both the McGowan's brothers, And, you know, I think just having those types of relationships is good for chemistry, if nothing else.
Jeez, Abdel Masih, who doesn't he know? Would you like to see his phone?
That's what I'm saying.
Would you like to, I mean, wouldn't you like to scroll through his phone and look at his contacts? How
yeah,
many there are?
Yeah, like his screen time usage is, because it's got to be like 15 hours a day.
Outside of Bryce McGowan's, of the seven freshmen, do you see another one that could crack the starting lineup by the end of the non-conference season?
Starting lineup is tough just because they do bring so much back. But a guy that I think could play a lot and maybe push for a starting job, depending on how quickly he's able to hit the ground running, is Wilhelm Breidenbach. People kind of just forget
about him. You are high
on
him.
Yes, I am high on him. And that's because the staff has been high on him literally since the day they took the job at Nebraska. Their very first recruiting trip, or one of them, that they took, you know, when they were first hired here, was out to California to go see Wilhelm play in person. You know, they got him in on campus as soon as they could on a official visit, I guess last fall. And, you know, they've made him a priority from the jump. And he's a guy that is the prototype of a quote-unquote power forward, stretch four, in the Fred Hoiberg offense, to where, you know, he's 6'9", he's big enough to rebound and, you know, hold his own in the post and, you know, maybe protect the rim a little bit, but more so he can stretch out defenders on the other end, knock down threes at a consistent rate. And, you know, he shoots with his right hand and finishes it in the rim with his left, so he's almost ambidextrous with how he shoots. And so, I mean, he's a really versatile weapon that they can do a lot of different things with, and you pair that with how early this staff identified him as a guy that they needed, that shows kind of where his potential could be right out of the jump. So, you know, I know there's a lot of flashy guys in there. You know, Keon Edwards is certainly, you know, a borderline five-star in his own right, who has some high major experience under his belt. C.J. Wilcher, you know, obviously played at the Power 5 level, you know, former four-star, one of the best shooters in the country. So they have a lot of guys that you can put in that discussion. But for some reason, just because of the nature of his position, I like Wilhelm's chances as much as anyone's, not named Bryce McGowan, to make an immediate impact next year.
Robin, I appreciate it. Good seeing you on Saturday. Enjoy the conversation. Have a good week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
Seven freshmen on Nebraska's roster with the addition yesterday of McPherson. All three schools, red, blue, and black Nebraska, were busy. As I said when it happened, Creighton got a good pickup as well. Ryan Hawkins is a nice fit. Who transferred from Northwest Missouri State. And then I went back and looked. There are more guys this year than I can recall that with the free season are moving up from Division II that want to give it a chance to see if they can play Division I basketball. All right, let's shift gears. Tom Chattel will join us next. And then in the final 30 minutes, we still got everybody's been so kind to send in their favorite teacher on National Teacher Appreciation Day. I want to read one quick here. This is from Chris, longtime listener of 1620 The Zone, Chris Krug, who is the PA announcer over at Knoxville Raceway. He's a big racing guy. I'd like to acknowledge my mom on this Teacher Appreciation Day. I was the youngest of three kids by far, 10 years. My mother was working basic jobs before she found out I was on the way. Oh, I'm not supposed to pause after that? All right. Once she found out, she made the life-altering decision to go back to school at UNO, and in 88 got her degree and became a teacher. She wanted to provide for her family and make sure we were taken care of as we grew up. My mom spent 30 years as a high school math teacher at Plattsmouth High School, where she was my teacher for Algebra 1, 2, 3, and 4. There was no getting away, no homework tonight excuse ever. Every time I hear others talk about teachers getting long vacations in the summer, I remind them most teachers, including my mother, are forced to take summer jobs. Long hours during the school year and the salary don't usually go hand in hand. It is an incredibly underpaid career choice. I'm forever grateful for the decision she made and the incredibly hard profession she chose.
Love that.
Thanks, Chris. Tom Chattel joins us next.